What is the 1888 message? Is it biblical? Chapter 1. In order to save us, Christ had to take our fallen, sinful nature. Introduction. Jones and Wagoner consistently taught that in order to save us, Christ had to take upon his sinless nature our sinful, fallen nature, including the necessity to deny self. They saw this truth as essential to understand if a people can be prepared for the day of God. To borrow Ellen White's oft-repeated phrase, we are all born in a state of natural selfishness. Christ chose to be totally unselfish. As we are, he was born self-centered, but unlike us, he perfectly denied self all his life up to his cross. Thus he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, facing temptation both from without and from within. This is an essential element of the 1888 message, the Laodicean message, for people to understand and believe if they are to overcome even as Christ overcame. The Bible evidence. The Savior must be the seed of the fallen, sinful woman, not of a newly created, unfallen Eve. In Abraham, in an unbroken line through his genes and DNA, the Savior is to come and be a blessing to all families of the earth. God entered into a solemn oath of covenant blood relationship with Abraham and with us, his children, by flesh and blood. The Savior cannot redeem the human race unless he is near of kin, even the nearest of kin to us. The establishment of the sanctuary among them teaches the nearness of Christ to us, the opposite of the Roman Catholic view of farness from us. The complete nearness of the Savior to us, his total identity with the fallen human race, is seen in that he became cursed of God for our sake, executed on a tree. It would be impossible for a person with a sinless, unfallen nature to be so executed. No person with an unfallen, sinless nature could utter such a cry unto us, the fallen, sinful human race. A child is born to be despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief could not be travail of soul for him unless he fully identified with our fallenness. The union of God with fallen man is expressed in the title, Son of Man. The curse that goeth forth unto the face of the whole earth, that remains with us and shall be consumed with us, is the curse that Jesus was made to be for us. This curse is what killed, consumed Christ. His name is God with us, not merely God with him. In his incarnation, Christ took upon himself a human will of his own, just as we each have a will of our own. He could not follow his Father's will unless he denied his own will. Thus he had an internal struggle, as have we, and a terrible one. That holy thing was born of a fallen, sinful woman, holy at his birth, because even from the womb he never yielded to self, as have we. His holiness was a sinless character and sinful flesh, not a sinless nature. If we follow him in self-denial, then he also had to practice self-denial. When the Word was made flesh, there was only one kind he could have been made, the same fallen, sinful flesh we have. Christ had a self, but a self which he says, I seek not. This self is equivalent, in his words, to mine own will, which he had to deny in order to follow the will of the Father which hath sent me. Thus he bore a constant cross and demonstrated his perfect sinlessness. The express purpose of his life mission was to live a life of totally denying mine own will, in order to do the will of him that sent me up to the cross. Christ was made of the seed DNA of David according to the flesh. When he died upon the cross, Christ's holiness had become righteousness, the result of condemning sin in the flesh. God sent him in the likeness, homoema, reality, not mere resemblance of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh, sarx, fallen, sinful. This he accomplished by the total, painful denial of self, even to the death of the cross. This total victory over sin and fallen, sinful flesh is to be fulfilled in us, dikaiomata, who also deny the flesh and walk after the Spirit. Christ felt in his flesh the enmity we feel, but by faith he abolished it, having slain the enmity. By the cross, that struggle with inward alienation is delineated in Psalm 22. In the body of his flesh, he reconciled our alienation and enmity. Summary. The consistent Bible teaching seems to be that in his incarnation the Savior had to take upon himself the fallen nature of sinful mankind, yet therein totally condemned and defeated sin and guaranteed such deliverance for all who choose not to resist his grace. Jones and Wagoner believe that receiving the truth would prepare a people for the second coming of Christ. Sinful man is flesh, Christ was made flesh. We are under the law, Christ was made under the law. We are under the curse, Christ was made a curse. We are laden with iniquity, he bore the iniquity of us all. We are a body of sin, God hath made him to be sin for us. Christ, who was of the divine nature, was made partaker of our human nature, that we who are altogether human might become partakers of the divine nature. Christ, who knew no sin, suffered the full extent of the horror and despair of our second death, that we might know the full extent of his endless life. Conclusion. Fallen man cannot know how to deny self unless he looks at the antitypical serpent lifted up on a pole. This unique aspect of 1888 truth is a sharp demarcation between Babylon and the remnant church. In order for a church, a corporate body of God's people, to overcome even as Christ overcame, this truth is essential. It must not be dismissed as mere semantics. Our youth in this age of alluring temptation desperately need to know of a Christ who is nigh at hand and not afar off. To borrow Ellen White's appraisal of this message of the nature of Christ as Jones and Wagoner presented it.